Today, it's all a bit artificial, really. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and problem news. I hope you're having a nice Twixmas. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia and go to Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. In the holiday season, volumes are light and some markets close for parts of the week. So there are actually few catalysts to fuel much market conviction as participants watched the skies for signs that a Santa Claus rally, in which the S&P 500 advances through the last five trading days of the current year and the first two of the next, a period which began last Wednesday and will run through to January the 5th. Such a rally could bode well for stock performance in 2026, or maybe not. The MSCI Global Index rose another 1.43% last week, while the Stock 600 lifted 0.21%, while all three major US stock indices closed nominally lower on Friday, snapping a five-session rally, but then they still logged weekly gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just a little, 0.04%, to 48,710. The S&P 500 lost just a little to 6,929, and Nasdaq Composite lost again just a small amount to 23,593. The ASX 200, though, fell 0.4% to 8,762, with 10 of the 11 sectors lower. And for the week, that index rose 1.6%. The move higher in tech comes amid renewed enthusiasm for technology and AI-related stocks, coupled with market speculation that eventually the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in 2026, underpinning the advance. Few trading days remain in a turbulent year, in which tariff jitters, simmering geopolitical tensions, and the rapid growth of AI-related momentum stocks took investors on a very bumpy ride. But the pan-European Stock 600 and Wall Street benchmark S&P 500 indices both gained about 16% so far, while the global index lifted 21.5%, mainly driven by the AI momentum. Or should that be a bubble? Year-to-date, communication services, technology, industrials have outperformed the broader markets. Real estate seems to be the only sector that has lost ground in 2025. And by the way, the ASX achieved only a 7.4% gain for the year, so it's a laggard. AI has all the hallmarks of a bubble. What will remain, though, is likely an enduring algorithmic layer on top of society, pushed by players like Oracle, Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, OpenAI, and Palantir in a symbiotic government-corporate relationship. But there will be casualties along the way. Considering continual reinvesting that data centers require as newer NVIDIA chips supersede older generations, it is likely that much of the capital that's being invested will never meaningfully settle. So actually, the stock market is entering a self-reinforcing CapEx flywheel of refinancing and fresh equity issuance. Last Thursday, the Wall Street Journal reported that OpenAI is in talks to raise $100 billion in a funding round, potentially elevating the company's valuation to around $830 billion. That's a tall order for an AI firm that is yet to turn a profit, racking up around $5 billion of a net loss in 2024. Although OpenAI expects this year to finish with a nearly double net loss, around $9 billion. In November's Wall Street Journal projection, based on OpenAI's financial documents, the company is heading to achieve sustainable profit by 2030. And meanwhile, Amazon-backed Anthropic, Claude family of AI models, is set for profitability in 2028. According to the latest Dealogic data, the AI hype resulted in the global tech sector issuing around $428 billion worth of bonds in 2025, of which the US tech sector is responsible for $341 billion. In addition to massive capex inflows towards AI chips and data centers, energy infrastructure also has been upgraded to feed the growth. All of this points to unprecedented capital commitments that will drive the stock markets. After all, the tech portion of the S&P 500 constitutes a substantial 34%, making IT the largest single sector. Nvidia clearly demonstrated this when it became the first ever company to cross the $5 trillion valuation back in late October. In US trading, Nvidia actually climbed 1% last week after the AI chip maker agreed to license chip technology from startup Grok in a $20 billion deal. The acquisition is expected to help Nvidia to better compete in the AI interface market, where the competitors such as Broadcom plan to deliver TPU-based systems for Anthropic. As part of the deal, Grok's founder, president, and other members of its core engineering team are expected to join the chipmaker. CrowdStrike Holdings also gained after Wedbush said the company remains one of our favorite tech names and we are seeing deal momentum spread, with AI also a clear tailwind for this well-positioned tech leader. Target rose 3.1% after the Financial Times reported the retailer is facing activism from hedge fund Tom's Capital Investment Management, which has made a significant investment in the company. US listed shares of precious metal miners such as First Majestic, Coeur Mining, and Endeavour Silver rose between 1.2% and 3% as silver and gold prices touched fresh record highs. And in the meantime, it appears that tariff turmoil is in the rearview mirror, at least for now, after causing the market crash in early April. According to Penn Wharton's Tuesday budget model, President Trump's tariffs brought in a record windfall of around $124 billion. That's revenue between January and September 2025. Now, just don't mention the court case, eh? However, it is yet to be determined if the global tariff realignment will have a positive effect on the US economy and its stock market. The tariffs' stated purpose is to reshore manufacturing in the US. The US manufacturing has been contracting for 9 straight months as of November's manufacturing PMI, the Purchasers Managers Index. Moreover, S&P Global reported on Wednesday last week that the smallest rise was seen in new business inflows that was recorded for 20 months. Likewise, over the past 8 months, jobs growth was the second weakest since September. Top it up, bankruptcies increased 10.6%. In the 12-month period ending September the 30th, that's according to the Administrative Officer of the US Courts. Oh, and by the way, while the US GDP number was superficially positive, actually, it was fudged. All up, this seems to me to be more a signal of an increasingly engineered market rather than a signal of economic optimism. Nevertheless, investors can likely count on the momentum of big tech to force gains through the new year, as the stock market is now largely driven by self-reinforcing capital commitments in the tech sector. Remember, the bulls have been running for 3 years now. Still, the market is significantly overvalued, with the 10-year inflation-adjusted Shiller PE ratio near an all-time high at 40.59, while the 12-month trailing S&P 500 PE is 31. That's the highest since 2020. The PE ratio of the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 is around 34, which is down from 38 at the start of 2025 and lower than the 38 in 2021 when the tech bubble burst, but it is still historically very, very high. So the big question among strategists is, will AI continue to fuel the stock market gains in 2026, or will the valuation bubble burst? Now, on the high side, Oppenheimer expects the S&P 500 to hit 8,100 at the end of 2026, which would be about a 17% gain over the current price. Our positive outlook for the S&P 500 is based on a number of factors that include persistent, resilient evidence in US economic data, S&P 500 corporate results throughout most of the year beating expectations. This, in our view, augurs for further improvement in corporate results in 2026, they wrote. Morgan Stanley is targeting 7,800 for the S&P 500 in 2026. That would suggest a 12.5% return next year. Morgan Stanley strategists say corporate earnings and cash flow should grow from a combination of market-friendly policies, interest rate cuts, by the Federal Reserve, a reduction in corporate tax bills, positive operating leverage, the re-emergence of pricing power and AI-driven efficiency gains. JP Morgan is right in the middle of the pack with a 7,500 prediction for the S&P 500, which would represent a roughly 8% gain. Valuations are undoubtedly rich, but there are some compelling justifications. First and foremost, profit growth has been impressive, tracking for four consecutive quarters of double-digit earnings growth, they say. Earnings also comprise the largest contribution to total returns in the United States compared to its global counterparts. This resilience in valuations and profits comes with policy rates above 4% for the last 3 years, a softer consumer, less fiscal stimulus, and few cyclical tailwinds. In addition, structural factors like shifting index composition from value to growth may also warrant higher valuations, they said. At the less bullish end of the spectrum, though, is Bank of America, which projects the S&P 500 to be at 7,100 at the end of next year. That's a 2.6% gain over the current level. While anticipating 14% EPS growth in 2026, the head of US equity strategy expects muted S&P 500 gains with a year-end target of 7,100. We're watching for signs that suggest we could be shifting from a consumption-driven bull market to a capex-driven one, the analyst stated. Now, investors are also waiting for President Donald Trump to nominate a Fed chair to replace Jerome Powell, whose term ends in May, and any inkling of Trump's decision could sway markets in the coming weeks. The US dollar has been under pressure as a result, pushing the euro, sterling, and the Swiss franc to recent highs. Most foreign exchange currencies were actually subdued on Friday in thin end-of-year trading, while the US dollar hovered near 12-year lows as investors assessed Japanese economic data and weighed expectations for future US interest rate cuts. The US dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of major currencies, was largely flat in Asian hours, trading near its lowest level since early October. And the greenback has weakened amid growing expectations that the Federal Reserve will indeed further cut interest rates in 2026 as inflation cools. Lower US Treasury yields have also weighed on the dollar, providing some support to Asian currencies despite the muted trading environment. But gold and silver surged to record highs on Friday, and investors flocked to safe haven assets amid escalating geopolitical tensions and a weakening US dollar, extending a powerful year-end rally in precious metals. Lower US Treasury yields have also supported non-interest-bearing assets such as gold, as investors reassess the outlook for US rates and shift portfolios towards stores of value. US gold futures for February delivery rose 1.3% to 4,562, to be up another 3% across the week as investors sought protection against global uncertainty. Silver prices surged 7.6% just on Friday to hit a new record high of $79.67, to be up 14% for the week. Silver tracked gold's gains, buoyed not only by its defensive appeal, but also by its industrial use, particularly in electronics and clean energy technologies. Strong investment inflows and limited availability amplified price moves during the holiday thinned trading conditions. Platinum soared to an all-time high, trading above $2,500 an ounce on tight supplies and historically elevated borrowing costs. The metal rose for a 10th straight session, its longest winning streak since 2017, and has advanced more than 150% this year, the biggest annual gain since 1987. The recent surge has come as the London market shows signs of tightening, with banks parking metal in the US to insure against the risk of tariffs. Used in the automotive and jewellery sectors, platinum has been caught up in the wave of investment that poured into precious metals this year. Gold and silver, of course, as we said, have also risen to records. More than 600,000 ounces of platinum are sitting in US warehouses, an amount much higher than usual, as traders await the outcome of Washington's Section 232 probe, which could lead to tariffs or trade restrictions on the metal. Meanwhile, shipments to China have been robust this year, and demand optimism has been bolstered as contracts recently began trading on the Guangzhou Futures Exchange. Prices in Guangzhou have risen well above other international benchmarks, by the way. Platinum, though, is also on course for a third year of deficits this year due to supply disruptions in major producer South Africa. High borrowing costs have also been an issue for manufacturers that use the metal to produce goods, ranging from chemicals to glass to laboratory equipment. Industrial users often choose the less capital-intensive option of leasing rather than buying the commodity outright. So this move in precious metals is the clue that not all is well in markets. Geopolitical developments were a key driver of the move. Safe haven demand increased after the US stepped up pressure on Venezuela's oil exports, a move that raised concerns about supply disruption and broader regional instability. Adding to market unease, President Donald Trump said on social media that US forces had carried out strikes against militant targets in Nigeria, highlighting Washington's willingness to use military force in multiple regions. With liquidity likely to remain thin through the holiday period, price swings will be exaggerated. Still, analysts say the broader fundamentals point to continued strength in gold and silver into the new year. Oil prices settled down 2% on Friday as investors weighed a looming global supply glut, while also keeping an eye on a potential Ukraine peace deal ahead of talks over the weekend. Brent crude futures settled down 2.57% to $60.80 per barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate, the WTI, settled down 2.76% to $58.93. While supply disruptions have helped oil prices rebound in recent sessions from their near five-year lows on December the 16th, they are on track for their steepest annual decline since 2020. Brent and WTI down 19 and 21% respectively on the year, as rising crude output caused concerns of an oil glut heading into next year. The global oil supply next year will exceed demand by around 3.84 million barrels per day. That's according to figures from the Paris-based IEA's December oil market report. Over in Europe, European markets saw muted trading on Wednesday during a shortened Christmas Eve session. Pan-European Stoxx 600 was flat. The FTSE in the UK fell 0.2% after closing early, while the CAC 40 in France was flat, also only trading for half a day. The DAX in Germany was closed for the whole day. The FTSE 100 edged lower on Wednesday, with home builder gains countered by declines in healthcare amid a truncated Christmas Eve session. The home builders Taylor Wimpey and Persimmon were up 0.5% each, while healthcare stocks fell 0.5%, weighed down by AstraZeneca and Genus, falling 0.7% and 0.1% respectively. Oil major BP agreed to sell a 65% stake in its Castrol lubricants business to US investment firm Stonepeak for about $6 billion, a significant step in the oil major's $20 billion divestment plan aimed at cutting debt and boosting returns. Its shares, though, traded flat. Miners and financial stocks, along with defence stocks, were the biggest drivers of the FTSE 100 gains this year, which was up 20.7% year-to-date. French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi announced plans to acquire Davinox Technologies Corporation for $15.50 per share in cash, valuing the vaccines company at around $2.2 billion. In other news, the Trump administration imposed visa sanctions on former EU Commissioner Thierry Breton and four other individuals. The sanctions target those accused of trying to make American tech companies police political speech on their platforms. The French government issued a condemnation on Wednesday regarding the visa ban on Breton, who helped drive the European Union's Digital Services Act. This legislation has recently targeted major US technology companies. The euro-US dollar pair was down 0.1%, while the pound-US dollar pair fell 0.2%. Asian stocks rose to their highest level in 6 weeks on Friday, and a blistering rally in precious metals showed no signs of tempering as investors sought to close out the year on a high, while a softer yen kept intervention risk in the fray. Japan's Topex climbed a record high and was last up 0.5%. South Korea's benchmark index rose 0.6%. taking its annual gain to 72% and making it the best performing major stock market in the world this year. The yen-US dollar pair traded 0.3% higher, and data on Friday showed that consumer inflation in Tokyo eased in December from the previous month, but remained above the Bank of Japan's target, leaving expectations for further rate hikes largely intact. The data reinforced the view that the Bank of Japan is still on a gradual path towards policy normalization, even if the pace of tightening remains uncertain. Additional figures showed Japan's industrial production declined in November, highlighting continued weakness in the manufacturing sector amid soft global demand. But by contrast, retail sales rose, pointing to resilience in household consumption. The mixed data kept the yen trading in a narrow range. Still, investors are vigilant to official yen buying from Tokyo, particularly as trading volumes thin towards the end of the year, which analysts say is an opportune time for authorities to take action. Benchmark Japanese government bonds gained slightly on Friday as expectations for restrained debt issuance helped yields retreat from a 26-year peak as the Prime Minister sought to ease market concerns over her expansionary fiscal policy. China's blue chip stock index was 0.27% higher, on pace to clock an 18% gain for the year. That's its strongest annual surge since 2020, but the Nifty 50 in India was down slightly with an annual gain of just 10%. The Australian share market posted its biggest weekly gain in more than a month, despite shares falling on Wednesday in a shortened trading session, as local stocks fell to follow gains on Wall Street and across Asia, after data showed the US economy grew at its fastest pace in 2 years. The ASX 200 fell 0.4% to 8,762. For the week, the index rose 1.6%, and the benchmark will be open on December the 29th, following the Christmas and Boxing Day holidays. Moomoo Australia dealing manager Jimmy Tran said that the US economy grew 4.3% in the third quarter, and that reinforced the view that the US economic momentum remains firm. If consumer spending proves resilient through the holiday period, then we have a constructive setup for the next round of corporate earnings results, but it could refocus market attention towards inflation risk, potentially complicating the outlook for rate cuts, he said. On the ASX, healthcare was the weakest sector as CSL fell 2.4% to $171.48 and ResMed fell 2.1% to $36.22. Monash IVF tumbled 10.4% to 73.5 cents after a consortium led by Genesis Capital Investment Management and Solpats withdrew its 80 cents a share offer for the company. Retailers were also weaker ahead of Boxing Day sales as Wesfarmers, the owner of Kmart and Bunnings, fell 0.7% to $81.56 and Guzman Y. Comes 1.4% to $22.12. Materials continued to enjoy strong gains as copper and gold reached record highs, passing the 12,000 US and 4,500 marks respectively. For the first time, Rio Tinto added 0.8% to $147.50 and South 32, 0.6% to $3.51. Gains in gold were underpinned by Northern Star, which rose 1.2% to $27.01, and Perseus, which added 1.1% to $5.73. Lithium miners were also up as prices of the battery material hit their highest levels since November 2023. PLS bounced 6.3% to $4.38 and Liontown 4.7% to $1.67. Treasury Wine Estates added 7.6% to $5.39 as a Luxembourg-based investment company backed by former consumer goods executive Olivia Goodet accelerated buy-up of shares in the ailing Pensfold owner. The group now owns 5.05%. Lendlease climbed 4.6% to $5.29 after it won the Sydney Metro Hunter Street West Overstation development, boosting its development and construction pipelines with a major CBD project that includes delivery of the metro station opposite Wynyard. Drone Shield jumped 0.6% to $3.29 as it secured a $6.2 million standalone contract tied to an Asia-Pacific military end customer, reinforcing demand for its counter-drone capabilities across the region. Seven West Media rose 4.2% to 12.5 cents in its final session after the acquisition by Southern Cross Media became legally effective. And Next DC jumped 0.7% to $12.97 as it received state significant development approval for its S4 Sydney data centre at Horsley Park in New South Wales. The Australian dollar has jumped to its highest mark since the US dollar since October 2024, amid market consensus about diverging paths for interest rates in 2026. The dollar was last buying around 67.16 US cents, surpassing its previous peak of 67.06 to be at the highest since October 21st, 2024. And it was also at 49.74 UK pence. Australia's currency has come back into favour in the past month as money markets priced in rate hikes by the Reserve Bank of Australia from early next year to tame inflation. Minutes from the RBA's December board meeting released on Tuesday showed that some members believe rates were no longer restrictive. But note, the RBA only managed inflation in band for 20% of the time from 2015 onwards. That's not a very good scorecard, is it? In the US, markets are still expecting a further rate easing by the Federal Reserve as soon as January. It comes as fresh data showed that the US economy grew at its fastest pace in years. Finally, in crypto, it hasn't been a December to remember for the crypto community. Bitcoin was last at $87,460 US, with Ethereum at $2,924, as yet another stark reality check for crypto investors unfolded last week. After the early December roller coaster of ETF flows, the market has seen a modest recovery of roughly $465 million worth across Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs in the two-week stretch ending December the 12th. That rebound proved short-lived, though. The middle of December period from December the 15th to the 19th, 2025, saw US-listed Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs face a fresh setback, recording net outflows of around $1.13 billion, as top funds including BlackRock, Bitwise, and ARK posted the largest withdrawals. Bitcoin's ETFs saw a broad pullback after early December's optimism. BlackRock's IBIT was the largest contributor to outflows, losing around $230 million, while Bitwise and ARK combined saw a $215 million fall. Fidelity's FBTC was a rare bright spot, posting modest inflows of around $33.1 million and unexpected performance despite the huge outflow of other big firms. Now, depending on your viewpoint, Bitcoin is either cheap, hence a buy, or will fall further. Schrodinger cat style, both are possible, which is also true of the overall markets. While the AI hype could push markets higher in 2026, the signals are there for those expecting a correction. We are seeing a decoupling of economic growth and corporate profits from real wages and jobs, meaning ordinary people are sliding backwards, even as the AI craze rolls on. Treasury index returns are down, signaling higher interest rates ahead, a signal of embedded inflation in the system, while money supply balloons thanks to higher government spending, credit growth, and AI funding needs, which stokes inflation, of course, while hedge funds are borrowing to the gills, meaning that they are betting on more volatility and leverage. So the current markets are frankly artificial. Again, we'll have to see later as we open the 2026 box whether the proverbial cat is alive or dead. Or as the Lost in Space robot said just once during the episode of Lost in Space Deadliest of the Species.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.